It's good to see everyone here again. I appreciate the prayer that Brother Mike led. Asking for God's help with me giving this lesson. And also praying for everyone that's going to be hearing this lesson this afternoon. Usually like to take the benefit of a Sunday afternoon after lunch to kind of collect my final thoughts when preparing the lesson for Sunday afternoon. And I'm actually really looking forward to our new schedule because it doesn't allow me the luxury of procrastination anymore. So I'll just have to learn to put my notes together a little bit quicker. Before a short while this afternoon, we'll be talking about Jesus being the way. This is one that's kind of from the archives. And y'all may recall this particular lesson. But for a short while, we'll be talking about Jesus being the way to eternal life. There are several reasons why Jesus is the way to eternal life. First, he's the one who has prepared a place for us. He tells us in John chapter 14, verse 2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." He also is the one who will come and receive us to himself. Moving along, John chapter 14, verse 3, the Bible reads, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Also, the Apostle Paul spoke of this event, in which Jesus will come for his disciples. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll read verses 15 through 17. The Bible reads, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will be by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Possibly another thought, maybe a more sobering reason why Jesus is the way to eternal life is one in particular, is that he is the one who will also judge us and judge as to who will enter in the life eternal. In describing the future judgment, the scene to his disciples, we find Jesus telling us in his word in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31. We'll read from 31 through 34, the Bible reads, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" Also in verse 41, he says, "Then he will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" And moving on to verse 46, the Bible reads, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, Paul wrote of the role Jesus would perform as the judge who determines our fate. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So how essential, then, that we be found acceptable to his sight? If after reading God's word and knowing what we know to be true, and after hearing about him being the way to eternal life, isn't it basic common sense for us to want to be on the right side of things? I guess in a more positive manner, Jesus is the way to eternal life because together with God, he is what makes eternal life so wonderful. As the beloved disciple, John, wrote in the revelation given to him, in Revelations chapter 21, 1 through 4, Hear the scripture speak. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his disciples, his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Also in Revelation chapter 21, verses 22 through 23, says, But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Now moving along to Revelation chapter 22, we'll read the first five verses. Here the Bible reads, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river was a tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. There's some things that we need to notice here. There's a few things that we need to notice what was said about Jesus in these passages. He's described as the bridegroom. He's described as the temple, as the light, or a lamp. He's described as a source of the water of life. Yeah, it's Jesus who's going to make eternal life what it is. This may help us to appreciate the writings of Paul when we think back in regards to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Paul wrote, We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Also Paul wrote in Philippians 1 through 23, For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So when we focus on this and we try and understand all of it in its entirety, would there be eternal life without Jesus? Well, if we as Christians believe that God's Word is completely and entirely true, which we do, then according to the Bible, Jesus is truly the way to eternal life. And since Jesus is the way to eternal life, should we not also consider what Jesus has to say about it? Just some of the few teachings that Jesus said that's recorded. First, eternal life is considered a prepared place for prepared people. By this thought, we can basically understand and know that people are not just going to stumble into it by accident. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warned his disciples. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, he said, Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. The way to life is such that few find it. And a lack of preparation is usually the reason. Jesus taught several parables to stress this point in particular, including the parable of the wedding feast. The Bible reads that Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son. We read this in Matthew 22, verses 1 through 2. It goes on to say, But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, Friend, How did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Another parable or another teaching that we know is of the 10 virgins, found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. This parable teaches the same point. One must be prepared to enter eternal life. In fact, Jesus said later in his Sermon on the Mount that being a religious person in and of itself doesn't assure one of eternal life. Bible reads, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who practice lawlessness. Doing our Father's will is how we make preparation to enter into the wonderful life eternal. That same life that Jesus has prepared for us. But this requires something. This requires diligence on our part. As the Apostle Peter said in his second epistle, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, the Bible reads, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus also taught something else about eternal life. That there's only one alternative. The only alternative is eternal condemnation. In other words, the only alternative is hell, which Jesus describes as a prepared place for an unprepared people. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 41, the Bible reads, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Also in verse 46, he says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life, as we read before. So this terrible place of everlasting condemnation is vividly described by Jesus in the revelation he gave to his servant John. If you'd like to read along, it's Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. Here the Bible states that the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up to the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Also moving along in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we also need to note carefully that this is the only place that people will stumble into accidentally. So here we have one place. A place we are promised, if found faithful. A place that we diligently have to seek after. A place where we cannot stumble into by accident or by mere chance. And then on the other side, we have a place that many do often stumble into. A place that we ought not want to go to. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 reads, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it." It says many go into the way that leads to destruction because they simply follow the crowd, making no effort to come to know God or obey the gospel of Christ. Sometimes they face a terrible fate when Jesus comes again. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning with verse 7, the Bible reads, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So it says, punished with everlasting destruction. Sounds like a pretty bad alternative to an eternal life with Jesus and the promise that he offers us. So in conclusion, if God and Jesus have prepared such a fate for those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they certainly do not want people to experience this. Paul wrote to Timothy, the young evangelist, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 3, ending with verse 6. It says, "For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." So in order that eternal life and not everlasting destruction might be the destiny of us all, God has provided the most precious thing to him as the mediator between sinful man and God. And that was his Son and our Savior. And the way to all that is good, both in this life and the one to come. What we need to focus on is that if one does not accept Jesus as the way, then we are destined to do many things. We are destined to live a life with little direction here on earth. We're destined to die in our sins. We're destined to be forever separated from God. We're destined to go through life in religious confusion. We are destined to go through eternity in eternal condemnation. How much better would it be to come to Jesus? How much better would it be to diligently seek after him and to seek after the promise that we have been granted? How much better would it be to come to Jesus and let him be our way to many other things, our way to a better life, our way to forgiveness of our sins, a way of loving and close relationship with God, our way out of religious confusion, and our way to eternal life with all its prepared glory that awaits us. At this time, we want to offer an invitation to any of those who are subject to the gospel call, and also to any of those who wish to receive the prayers of the church. Whichever the case may be, we would ask that you come as we stand and sing a song of invitation.